Good afternoon. I'm Jamila Erickson here with today's midday interview. Opera House Theater Company is opening a show tonight. They are putting on the stage version of the classic 1939 film, The Wizard of Oz. And here to tell us all about The Wizard of Oz is Sue Ellen Yates, who is directing the show for Opera House. And she has brought The Wizard of Oz himself, Tony Rivenbark, who plays Professor Marvel at the beginning. And of course, we find out later on that he is also The Wizard of Oz. So thank you both so much for coming in today.
Oh, we are so excited to be here.
Oh, absolutely. We're excited about today. We're excited about tonight.
I know. Did you have a preview last night?
We did, and it was packed.
Wow.
Packed audience.
And they loved it.
Yes. They left singing the songs and actually joining in singing the songs while we were singing them. It was awesome.
Oh, that's wonderful to have the audience join in during the show. You know, I kept thinking, Sue Ellen, about talking to you about this show and saying, first of all, I don't think a lot of folks know how the stage version came about. There was the film, the 1939 film, based on the L. Frank Baum series of books. But then how did the stage version come about?
Well, you know, it really actually started out as a play in the 1900s, and it was a big hit. And then later on, the screen. So actually, it began as a play. Then it became, of course, the classic film. And then this production was created by the Royal Shakespeare, and it is spot on to the film. Yeah. So if you love the film, then you're going to see the film on the stage, which has its challenges.
That's what I wanted to ask about. What are the challenges of staging this? Because, first of all, everybody's seen the film. Mm-hmm. How married do you feel to the way things were done in the film?
Well, obviously we can't do movie magic, but we are able to do stage magic, which is absolutely, in my opinion, even more exciting than screen magic. And we have two really, really, well, actually more than two, probably four spectacular special effects that I can't wait for people to see. Both the Good Witch and the Bad Witch have fabulous entrances. We have fireballs. We have trap doors. We have all sorts of wonderful, wonderful special effects, and actually a team of people putting together this huge, huge undertaking that we are working on that opens tonight.
Yes. I was wondering about the tornado.
We have to do a tornado.
You have to do the fire thrown at the Scarecrow by the Wicked Witch.
He catches on fire. Absolutely. We have all of that. And we have 19 munchkins from age 13 down to 5. We have 5-year-old on stage, and they are so wonderful. When they come out on stage, the audience just was almost giggling with delight when they saw them. They're just absolutely adorable, adorable, adorable.
And I imagine a great part of that is not only their innate charm, but costuming.
Oh my gosh. Special applause to Julie and the costumes.
Julie
She's
Harvey.
Had to do dancing trees. She's had to do winkies. When you talk to a costumer about the challenges of the show, and I said, well, we have dancing trees, we have crows that sing and dance, we have winkies, so it's almost a foreign language, you know, not your typical play, and she
That's
has
right.
more than risen to the occasion. They are just absolutely stunning, just stunning. Jaw-dropping when people see them.
Oh, that's
especially
great.
So. And I have to say a special shout-out to the Munchkins and to Jason Acock, who's my assistant director on this piece. The choreography is extraordinary. Those kids are so talented, and they dance and sing their hearts out, as well as the little acting roles that they have. And not only did he choreograph the whole show, but he doubles as the most wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Scarecrow. Mm. He is just perfect in that role and is having so much fun, as is all the cast. I get no complaints. Everybody says we're having so much fun, which is what I tell them. If you're having fun, the audience is going to have fun.
Exactly.
And then it gets even more fun for everybody.
It's such a beloved piece. And I was able to see some of the audience between the first and the second act last night, and you just see them rocking, and they're experiencing the film in their mind while they're watching the play on the stage, and everybody so knows, they know it already, so it all blends together, that you're actually, the film and the play is happening in your head almost at the same time. It's like hearing two songs simultaneously, one in the other ear, but that's the same song, but they're slightly different versions.
Right.
And it melds together into the brain and the eye of the experience of the audience.
I mean,
and you can see that, and they just love it. They just eat it up.
I mean, a lot of the lines are identical to the screen, identical,
absolutely.
Including, I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog, too. I mean, all of that is in there. And it's just, you can see them going, oh, yes, I love that line. Give me that line, you know.
Exactly.
So it's really exciting.
When Sue Ellen asked me to do The Wizard of Oz, that was what the first question was, what is the version? You know, because in this case, you don't disappoint the audience in any way, because if you, as I say, you love the film, then you're going to love this play because you know it.
Yeah. There you go.
And can we talk about the principals and the fact that they are doubling their roles?
But hang on a second. Okay. Let me tell people that if you're just joining us, you're hearing Sue Ellen Yates and Tony Rivenbark telling us all about Opera House Theater Company's production of The Wizard of Oz. It is the adaptation that was created by the Royal Shakespeare Company, which really follows the classic 1939 film. Sue Ellen is directing and Tony is Professor Marvel, and of course later in the production, The Wizard of Oz himself. So now, talk about your double casting and your principals. Yes.
Well, all of the principals except Dorothy double. So they are characters in Kansas, and then they transform magically into the characters in Oz, which puts extraordinary stress on my design team, not only for costumes, but the characters and the quick changes, and what are we going to do to facilitate those changes. But to me, that was part of the charm of the piece, and it's amazing how well it is handled. It's just so exciting to see that happen. And I have to talk a little bit about Dorothy. She is a delightful young lady who won the audition several months ago with her charming rendition of Somewhere of the Rainbow, and she's just a beautiful young lady inside and out, and she's going to capture your heart. I mean, she has a smile that lights up the stage. Miss Abby Bowman, yes.
Abby Bowman.
She's just a delight to her. As all the people in this show, they've just been so excited and keep telling me how much fun they're having, and it's just been a delight. And I have to take a second to talk about the dog.
You must speak about Toto.
We have a live Toto who last night almost stole the show. He's so cute and adorable. Looking right at the audience and turning his little head and looking at them, where you could hear the people response to him. And also when Miss Gulch takes him away on her bicycle, it was really fun. And he's been a real trooper, I have to say, making his exits and entrances. So,
and there's so much happening, but there's so much scenery, and it's going in and out, and all these different scenes. And this little tiny dog, you know, and he is, you know, only about, you know, 6 or 7 inches off the ground.
Wow.
And these massive things moving back and forth like a giant factory. I mean,
Is he pretty much in Dorothy's arms all the time?
No, he runs about. And he's becoming more and more comfortable with it. In the beginning, I think he was a much worse. But he's much more. He's looking at all of it. He's as much fun to all. Everybody loves the dog. So backstage, everybody is on that dog. That dog is getting so much love.
He's having fun.
Right. Our dog wrangler does say that a couple of scenes when he comes off and she takes him, his little heart is beating rather rapidly.
I so wondered if you had an assigned dog handler
off stage. Oh, absolutely we do.
Excellent.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. Okay. So I'm just thrilled that Lou Criscalla decided to produce this, and I think it's going to be a real treat for audiences. I can't imagine any more fun way to spend a couple hours than reliving
Absolutely.
Your wonderful memories of this part of American history, really.
Charm.
We have a few minutes left. Tony, I want you to talk a little bit about your characters, about Professor Marvel and who becomes the wizard.
You mentioned before we were talking, before the interview, about copying the other characters. And, you know, it's really so much a part of yourself. You don't have to copy. It's just there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everybody is doing exactly what they feel is the right thing to do. But it becomes that. It was so perfect. I don't know how I had a friend who auditioned for The Witch at one point, and they said specifically, we don't want the classic cackly witch thing. And he went in, he didn't get the part because they said you weren't witchy enough.
Oh
you
my
know,
gosh.
There's kind of only one way to do it. So I don't think anybody actually spent a lot of time thinking about how to play these roles. They just are.
Mm-hmm.
And every choice that everybody made would seem to be is the right one.
I look forward to certain things, the way the Cowardly Lion is.
Oh, and Chris Rickard is just a delight in
yes.
that, as is James Ellison as the Tin Man. Oh, and he's just perfect. The leads are all just perfect in their
roles. Jason Aycock is a Scarecrow.
And my extraordinary ensemble, they're small, but what a great team they are. They fill the stage with so much energy and
the
their
sound
is
the
sound even
is
Loreen
beautiful.
Walsh, the musical conductor, is just blown away by their sound and having so much fun in the pit with her team of orchestra members playing these wonderful, wonderful songs.
Wow.
So It's been a great journey. We're excited to open. By the way, we do have a wonderful witch's cackle. It's the most extraordinary witch's cackle I have ever heard.
Who is your witch? Tell me the actress's name again.
Her name is Samantha Misfit.
Okay.
And she is new to lead roles, as far as I'm concerned, with Opera House, as far as I know. I hope that's correct. I know with Opera House. I'm not sure about her other background with lead roles. But she not only has to portray this Miss Gulch in the beginning, she then turns into the Wicked Witch. And she has the special effect melting. She has the fireball.
Yes.
So she's been thrown a lot of stuff, not just acting.
She's been thrown a lot of fireballs herself to be able to deal with all these things.
And she rides a bike. And, you know, I mean, there's so many things. And she's wonderful.
I want you to mention another unusual doubling, because it isn't this way in the film. It's who plays Auntie M and then also plays Glinda the Good Witch.
The beautiful and wonderful Amy Tucker Morgan is Auntie M. And the beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Glinda. And she has a special entrance, too.
Wonderful.
And to hear her voice sing that is just extraordinary.
Opera House Theater Company presents The Wizard of Oz. The show opens tonight. It runs Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 8, Sunday at 3. Then it runs for two more weekends, Friday and Saturday at 8 and Sunday at 3, all on the main stage of Thalian Hall. To get your tickets, and I would suggest you get them right away, call 632-2285 or go to thalianhall.org. And you can get your tickets either way. Sue Ellen Yates, Tony Rivenbark, thanks for coming in today. I really look forward to seeing the show.
Thank you. We're off to see the Wizard.